For the word this afternoon, let's turn back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. Several weeks ago now, I preached a message over at Northside for their anniversary service, and I preached on Noah. Didn't just build an ark, but Noah built an altar. And the Bible said that altar and his sacrifice, it was a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. And, you know, you stop and think about it. This world stinks. This world stinks. Think of how much different odors affect us. The other night we were driving out of Paducah, headed home, and never did see no run over little critter. But man, we hit a skunk zone. And if that skunk didn't get hit by the car, that car that went by it scared every little bit of stink out of him he had, because it was strong. I mean, it was one of those, I had the air going, but I had the vent flowing with it. And I mean, it just kind of, we're just driving around, we're talking, headed home, and phew, then it just kind of hits you right in the face. And it's pretty nasty, it's pretty awful. And then some things smell good to us and are sweet and are even in some ways enlivening and so forth. Remember when we moved to Florida and pastored down there about 5 years in Plant City outside of Tampa? I remember the first year we were down there when all the orange trees blossomed. There was orange groves three different directions from the church. And man, when they blossomed out and it'd get in the evening and you'd go out and set. Now in Florida, they don't call it a screened-in porch. In Florida, it's a lanai. I had to learn that after, you know, I talked about, when we go set on, that's Brother Darrell, that's a lanai. Okay. So anyway, that's what it's called in Florida. Screened-in porch is a lanai. So if you're ever down that way, someone says they're going to eat out on the lanai or something, you'll know what it is. But we went out and set, and boy, just the fragrance, the aroma, the intensity of just hundreds of orange trees around us. It's something that one of those things I can close my eyes, I can almost smell it yet, you know, as far as the sensation. So, you know, this world, and, you know, some stinks are good, some stinks not so good. And I love the smell of coffee in the morning. And then if there's bacon frying, that's just double good. But other things, not so much. But the Bible uses this. I want to apply this spiritually. There's some things before the Lord that are foul, that aren't so good. And there's other things before the Lord, and this is really the heart of the message. May we get revived and refreshed and invigorated to realize what we do in service and in pleasing the Lord and following the Lord, it's a sweet-smelling savor unto Him. And this is throughout the Bible. This after I preached a message about Noah building not only the ark but the altar and so forth, I began to follow that through the Scriptures and all through the Bible. There's different points, and even into Revelation, about the prayers, the odors of the saints gone up as a sweet smell, a savor unto the Lord, and so forth. And in the tabernacle, in the temple, there was always incense burning as a sweet-smelling savor. And it talked about the sacrifices of the bulls and the lambs and things being a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. So this is throughout the Scriptures. But we'll start conversely with the reality in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Then over in Proverbs chapter 21, chapter 21 and verse 27, The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? The worship, the false worship, the worship of self-righteous religion, it's an abomination. It's a foul odor before the Lord. It's something that the word abomination means that which is abhorred and that which is despicable and that which is displeasing, and it's a foul odor before the Lord. And if you have looked at world religions, you'll find that most of the world's religions in some way, shape, or form are religions of self-righteousness. Religions of self-righteousness. And so here is the Lord who gave his dear son, and he suffered and he bled and he died, and he was the ultimate example. He was born without sin, lived without sin, died for all of our sin. And yet here is the world and religions of the world in their puny attempt of self-righteousness. And their puny attempt, you know, the Bible says in Isaiah 64 that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. And so imagine the foul odor. Imagine the, you know, what displeasing that is before the Lord. And that's one of the reasons we should be really burdened for our lost friends and neighbors and relatives and co-workers, different ones we have a chance to speak with, and invite them to God's house, share the gospel with them, and because without them even knowing it, without them even realizing it, and many are sincere, and many have a faith, not the faith, but they have a faith in that false religion of self-righteousness, and they have a false sense of somehow or another doing something for God. And yet the Bible says that the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. It's foul before him. But in and through our Lord and Savior, oh, how sweet. Amen. How precious. How pleasing. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. That which is pleasing and delightful, that which is most pleasant before the Lord. He gave himself as that sweet-smelling sacrifice and savor before the Lord. And one of the things that really encourages and thrills my heart, and I believe it's why the Lord burdened my heart to share this, is we all need to realize that as we live and serve in and through our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, we are a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. We are delightful. We are pleasant. We are that which God Almighty takes great pleasure in. In and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's not just one thing or one area, but all the areas of our lives where we serve and follow the Lord and are obedient to the Lord and live and seek to honor and glorify the Lord, it's all a sweet-smelling savor to our Lord, to God Almighty on His throne in glory. I mean, let's just consider what the Bible tells us. Turn over with us to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. When we pray and when we do for God's man and for God's work, look at what Paul said here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Isn't that something that we who in and of ourselves are just wretched sinners saved by grace, we don't have any claim of purity or righteousness in and of ourselves, but that in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can do, we can help God's work, we can aid God's work, we can give to God's work, and it is a sweet odor, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God.
Amen.
Then we have over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, our praise and our worship, our communion together as God's people is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It's a sacrifice. It's something that God savors. It's something that is a delight before our great God Almighty. We find in Hebrews chapter 13, begin reading in verse 10, it says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, to commune, to fellowship together, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know, sometimes when we've been saved a long time and a church member a long time and we're used to being in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special services and so forth like that, you know, sometimes it can get to be more of a routine maybe than it ought to be. But let us never forget, when we come in and gather together in God's house as God's people, in God's house, to praise him, to worship, to lift up his name, to communicate. It's a sweet-smelling savor unto our Lord. It's a delightful thing before God. It's that which he takes great pleasure and delight in. And that ought to thrill our souls. That ought to encourage us. That ought to be that which really just, you know, revives us and stirs us to serve him.
Amen.
Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, scripture with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Have you ever witnessed, have you ever talked to somebody and afterward, you kind of felt, man, I wish I could have done better. Or I know after any time I ever talk to somebody, I think of a verse or I think of something I could have said maybe differently, maybe be more of a, you know, a better witness and so forth. But what we need to realize is no matter the witness, no matter how feeble our effort might be, and no matter how it might be received, it might be openly and just directly shunned and rejected and so forth, and it might be, well, we'll consider it, or, you know, that's interesting, or so forth, or, you know, praise be the Lord, it may lead to that person being saved, you know, hearing our gospel witness. Well, Paul speaks here that whenever the gospel is witnessed, it's a sweet-smelling savor. It's not about how it's received, or it's not about how good, or maybe, how well we might be able to present it. It's about the gospel going forth. And Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And there's so much of it. Here again, this is one verse you could end up with several sermons out of. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. We never lose in Jesus. That's something to consider. Even when it seemed like ourselves, we might be defeated, we might be down, we might not have presented things or had feel like in and of ourselves we were said everything and did everything we might could have in a witness and so forth. But God always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. In them that are saved. We're not just a sweet savor of Christ into those that receive the gospel and are saved by our, but even in those that reject, even in those that cast aside and shun us, even in those that say, I don't want any of that nonsense, I don't want to hear any more of that about Jesus. It says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Anytime we witness the gospel, anytime we can share the gospel, again, it's not dependent on how folks receive it. It's just a sweet savor to God every time we share it, every time we witness it, every time we can talk to someone about the Lord. It's a sweet, as it says later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but if our gospel be hid, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And on down in verse 7, Paul says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We might flop. We might feel we utterly failed as a witness. But the power of salvation, it's of God. It's not in how smooth or how maybe exact or how many scriptures we can quote or don't quote. We witness the gospel anyone to any time, regardless of how it's received. It's a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. And it's in God's hands and God's power to save. God will save whom he will. I've known those that have witnessed and later had the one they witnessed to saved. And personally tell me that when they witnessed to that one, when they had talked to that one about Jesus, they went away and felt like they'd done the most miserable job, the most miserable. They felt like they were the most miserable witness of Christ that probably ever was. And yet the Lord took that witness and saved a soul. That the Lord took that witness of the gospel and brought a lost sinner to the saving grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I love this. Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. In them that are saved and in them that perish. that are perished. It goes hand in hand with the word of God going forth. And it always accomplishes. It never returns unto him void. It always accomplishes that which God has determined and that God has set forth for it to accomplish. So as we think about our lives in the Lord and think about, our times of church, our times of sacrifice for the Lord, our times of being a witness, our times of praise, our times of prayer, our times of witnessing and sharing, we need to realize what a blessed privilege it is of ours to be a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. Just old sinners saved by grace. And yet, when we follow the Lord and do for the Lord, and when we give to the Lord, when we seek to live for the Lord, all of that is manifested as that which is pleasurable, delightful, a sweet-smelling savor unto our Lord. May that encourage us. May it strengthen us. May it revive us. May it be that which would give us the umption, you might say, to keep on keeping on. It's a discouraging time in many ways because you don't see. You know, I remember even as a kid growing up, you know, it would seem like just regularly right along, someone would walk an aisle and get saved. You know, the Lord would add to the church. It seemed like many times in a revival, folks would get right with the Lord. And it just, even in my youth, seemed like the physical manifestation of people being saved and people being moved by the Lord was more evident, we could say, than in many services today. But I believe with all my heart that as we, all of those things are in God's hands. All of those things are the work of the Holy Spirit. And God works and God does in His way and His time. And I believe just as much as ever, in our worship, in our praise, in our lives, seeking to be a living sacrifice for Him, in doing that which we are commanded to do and can do, we are a sweet-smelling savor unto our Lord. Amen. What a blessed privilege. How thankful we need to be to God that we can be so and that He's made us so through His grace, through His working in our hearts. And so may God encourage us, revive us, and strengthen us. May we keep on keeping on, knowing that we are a sweet-smelling savor unto Him. May God bless you. Amen.